He's benefited from a lot of that dark money and outside coordination that we were discussing earlier.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you both for being with us. And of course, we're going to continue to follow this tonight. We'll be doing a live broadcast on the midterm elections beginning at 7 Eastern Standard Time from the studios of Democracy Now! In New York. We'll be covering the country. Li Feng's recent investigation for The Nation is Mitch McConnell's frayed ties to a shadowy shipping company. We'll link to it. He's also blogged about how if the GOP takes the Senate, climate change deniers will control key committees. Reporting fellow at the Investigative Fund blogs about money and politics at the Republic Report. And thanks so much to John Nichols, political writer for The Nation. Latest book, Dollarocracy. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our host, Joe Uris. Today's topic will be the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001.
In addition to being weird, Portland is becoming known in the tech industry as a city that fosters innovation. Many people working in the industry believe that new technology can solve problems, including social and environmental problems. Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. for Disruptive Technologies and Human Design, Part 4 of Startup City, How the New Tech Boom is Changing Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Unions and the Fight for $15 brunch and discussion on Saturday, November 15th at 10:30 a.m. The event features Elizabeth Alexander, Vice President of Politics for SEIU 1021 in the San Francisco Bay Area, and Nicole Grant, President of the Washington Young Emerging Labor Leaders. Again, that's the Unions and the Fight for $15 brunch and discussion on Saturday, November 15th at 10:30 a.m. at the AFL-CIO Oregon, 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Okay, here we go. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. This is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. This is a discussion of 9/11, and here's how it's going to work. I want to be very clear with everybody. There's a lot of people stacking up online who want to have their say. In order to be fair, we are going to ask that everybody keep their comments to 3 minutes. If you have an argument that you want to present, I suggest you write it down and time yourself. This is really worthwhile. The most coherent messages are the most effective messages. I'm going to begin. I'm going to try to keep my comments within 10 minutes or less. I think it's very important to understand all of this, and I think my approach will be very simple. I am going to look at facts. I am going to consider what is called Morgan's Canon, or also known as basically the logic of science, Occam's razor. What does that mean? That means that lacking any contradictory information that is scientifically based, one goes with the most likely scientific explanation. I'm really serious about that. To call us, 231-8187. Some facts, all right? First of all, you must understand that 4 fuel-loaded large jetliners at high speeds attacked the United States. 2 hit the World Trade Center's 2 highest buildings. 1 hit the Pentagon. Yes, 1 hit the Pentagon. There is evidence of that. And one plane was blown up, essentially crashed at the struggle of the passengers on it when they realized through their cell phones and other sources what was happening. These were very brave folks and really had no choice. They could either wait and have the plane crash into something in Washington, or they could fight and let the plane go down in a heroic manner. That's what they did. Now, having established that is that there were four planes, there are questions that can be asked. One of the most important questions, which we are not going to deal with today, is whether the United States government deliberately allowed the events to go forward. All we are going to look at is the Twin Towers and the buildings surrounding them, including Building 7, and what happened there. There have been a lot of theories. I was given by a very sincere person a book called Solving 9/11 by Christopher Bolin. Christopher Bolin's book essentially turned out to be, in my judgment, a screed against Zionism and against Israel with a series of essential arguments that culminated in the notion that thermite was used to bring the buildings down. This is a very popular theory. Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with what happened. Let's talk very briefly about what happened. When planes loaded with fuel hit the two buildings, fuel was scattered and burst into flames. The surfaces around that, the wallpaper, wall coverings, the furniture, etc., also burned. The buildings were poorly built. It was a concern from the very get-go. The insulation was not installed properly, and there was not enough insulation. The building did not have a steel structure like the Empire State Building or the Chrysler Building. The result of this was a brief pooling of fuel, which ignited the other substances involved. The structural materials, because it was thinner than the old-fashioned structural materials, moved inward. There was a central column in which air could be superheated. The buildings failed. One set of floors fell on another set of floors and so on, and the buildings collapsed. I've heard people say, well, buildings don't fall straight down. Well, they do, and they did. Now, building number seven received a huge amount of debris. Fires were started. It turns out that in order to work the automatic sprinkler systems, you had to turn physical switches, which could not be accessed. The fact of the matter is that the fires there burned for a while, and then the building collapsed. There was no involvement of thermite that anyone could detect. The articles that are suggesting another kind of conspiracy say there were pools of hot steel at the bottoms of the buildings. First of all, if thermite were used, that steel would have already formed a solid mass at the base. It would not have been sitting there in molten form. This is fact. This is all what I know in the way of fact. Having said all that, I know that many of you are convinced that this must be a conspiracy. And the reason you're convinced of that has less to do with facts, I believe, than the fact that you've been lied to so much by the government, that surely this event, like so many others, was simply a put-up job. It's even been suggested that nothing hit the Pentagon. Hey, where are the passengers? Where's the flight crew? Where's the people who were hijackers on the plane? Where'd they go? Were they just disappeared? There are some blurry photos. There are knocked over poles, light poles. There are a knocked over generator. And there is the actual collapse of a wall of the building of the Pentagon. We have that information. Rather than my spending more and more time on structural information, which I initially thought I would do, I'm simply going to let you guys, all of you out there, give us your ideas about what happened and have you make your comments. In order to make this fair, because I know a lot of people have stacked up on this issue, I'm going to ask each of you to keep within 3 minutes. In fact, I'm not going to ask. I'm going to insist on it. Otherwise, people will be left out. Otherwise, there'll be a thought that this is some kind of conspiracy to cover up the cover-up. That's not the case. But, you know, theories will abound. So, My argument basically is, yes, the buildings were attacked. Yes, the buildings were weak. Yes, the buildings collapsed. Yes, buildings can fall straight down. No, there didn't need to be external explosions. No, and I want to, I guess I need to make one point really clear. If one building had been hit, it would have had the same result politically. If two buildings are hit, it would have the same result politically. This was an act of war. This was an act acknowledged by Osama bin Laden as a tremendous success. This was a very brilliant structural damage. This was a very brilliant event. Osama bin Laden and his people did not know that the buildings would collapse. They were very pleased with this. There is footage that shows this. So what we know is people attacked. Remember, there was an attack previously also by Al-Qaeda type individuals. So we know all that. And now we have the question of, is something else behind all this? And I really welcome your calls. 231-8187. Remember, 3-minute limits just so we can get everybody in. Tom, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for hosting this topic. I've been watching and listening to both sides of this debate for a long time, and I'm not sure, you know, what the truth is. All I know is I have my eyes that I can look at various videos of a Building 7, for example, or a or explosion at the Pentagon. I don't know what to think, but what I, you know, as I go through all of the things that I think are apparent, such as what you just pointed out in the last few minutes, all of the facts, all of the factors regarding the buildings that have fallen, or whether an airplane hit the Pentagon or not, all of those things. I think that what we have yet to do in this country is to have an investigation, not the political commission report that came out in 2004, I think it was, but an actual investigation that carefully looks at why Building 7 fell, such as you pointed out. You know, when I look at those videos of Building 7 falling, I think about all that structural steel underneath it and throughout the building, 30-some columns, I think it was. This is a 40-some story building. It going, you know, straight down like it did. That's really disturbing because I'm a person who works with his hands, who has a lifetime experience of just working with every kind of tool imaginable, and I've built things and so forth on a small scale. I'm a layperson, but still, I look at that building, that big steel building that had a couple of fires in it, that had some damage on the backside, and yet it fell straight down like that as many have said, at free fall speeds. That really bothers me. And I think we need to have an investigation that really explores that and find out how a big modern building can fall. Because you know something? I've got a sister that works in Portland, Oregon, downtown, in one of the bank buildings down there. I think she's on the third or fourth floor of that bank building near Burnside. But I worry about that. If Building 7 can fall with that kind of fire, those kind of fires and that kind of minor damage at the base of it, then cannot all high-rise buildings be in some kind of danger today?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Who's next? Derek, you're on.
Good morning. Building 7 is absolutely the key that opens Pandora's box on this whole operation. And I most recommend a website called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. They currently have more than 2,300 people, all licensed architects and engineers, who've signed their petition demanding a new investigation. Because fundamentally, several of the myths that were recounted at the beginning of the program are in fact structurally and scientifically impossible. I was myself completely convinced by the mainstream media story for several years, that being primarily a science teacher, when I started looking at actual scientific discussion, it became extremely clear that the absolute fundamentals of physics do not comport or parallel in any way the NIST claims of how these buildings supposedly fell. And the structural issues with the Twin Towers and Building 7, which were built on completely different types of plans, suffered completely different kinds of damage, yet somehow all fell in a way that essentially defies the laws of physics, which somehow went on vacation on 9/11, even though many, many other steel structured buildings have caught fire in much more severe ways and not collapsed over the previous decades since. So basically, you know, I was going with, you know, what I thought I knew about the nature of reality, and then I started looking at the actual scientific discussion around what actually happened, and now we've got 2,300 architects and engineers who've all put their names on the line demanding a new investigation. So AE 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, is where I would just direct everybody. And then that just opens the door and changes the way you see the world, which is a really a fascinating experience I've had.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye. Now again, we're going to have 3 minutes. Everyone can use up to 3 minutes. We're going to take as many callers as we possibly can. I am not going to comment on any of the things that people say. If there's time at the end, people have run out of, you know, we run out of people, I'll make some comments about structural issues and about the Osama bin Laden connection. That's all I'm going to do, if I do anything at all. So it's you, all of you. Who's next? Perry?
Yeah.
Terry.
Well, thank you for having this conversation.
Uh-huh.
But your beginning of your facts, I think, are all wrong. You're just doing the media goose step. Majority of us, thank goodness, Portland has media access, Portland media access, cable access, and it came up immediately what was going on. Here's an analogy. Have you heard the old saying, killing two birds with one stone? This is three buildings with two planes. The buildings were well constructed, and most planes are made of aluminum, and it had steel and concrete structure. It should have just hit the side of the building and fell down, just like when the plane hit the Empire State Building during World War II. And now the Pentagon. Well, the Pentagon plane was at the Time magazine. The front page of Time magazine showed the Pentagon, and it was just a hole on the bottom floor. The Pentagon is four stories high. The two top floors hadn't collapsed yet. And the Pentagon is the largest building in the world, square footage. Why would you hit the side of the building? Wouldn't you hit the top? And there's other things about 9/11 that that really we can need an investigation. In fact, the building number 7 was the first report the government came out with. It wasn't even included in that. So, and a lot of Americans, if you realize that, hey, the three buildings collapse, they think about the Twin Towers, they forget about building number 7. That's all I really have to say.
Thank you very much. We're going to continue on. 3 minutes per person. Any argument is welcome. I'm not going to be responding to the arguments, maybe at the end a little bit, only on questions of structural matter. Who's next? Francis, you're on the air. 3 minutes.
Hi. We have said that this was not a conspiracy. Well, however it was, because it happened and somebody conspired to do it. I was sort of baffled by the fact that within 24 hours of the incident, we had pictures of every single person who was supposedly involved in the hijacking. There were several people. I wondered how they came up with those pictures so quickly. And also, Building 7 concerns me quite a bit, because as I understand it from people who have done demolition and everything, a building can't go down like that without some kind of demolition devices being in place. Also, we always attribute the joy and the thrill of this happening and how pleased they were with the results to Osama bin Laden. But I have never once heard anything that he said directly. I see tapes of him having conversations with people among his group, but we never hear what he actually said. We hear what somebody is saying that he's saying, and we never hear the true Arabic translation of any of his conversations. And also, I've heard many times that the Bin Laden family at the time of this incident was meeting with the Carlyle Group in New York. That would be George Bush Sr. and his friends. And I don't know if that's true, but I've heard it many times. I would love to know if that is a fact. I think there's a whole lot we'll never know. But to suggest that this is not a huge conspiracy is... It was a huge conspiracy because the Twin Towers fell and somebody conspired to do it. We just don't know who.
Is that it,
that's
Francis?
That's all I have to say right now. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call, Francis. Okay, next person. Remember, keep your comments to 3 minutes, please. Go ahead. David, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Joe. I'm actually one of the 2,300 petition signers who's an engineer or an architect. I'm with the local action group here of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Just for a quick notice, that our website has a link that provides some good videos online that I think people would be interested in seeing. The website is PortlandAE911Truth.org, and go to the evidence tab. Like many people, it's the free fall of Building 7 that's a smoking gun for me. No airplane even hit that building. Yet for 8 stories, the top of that building coming down met only air molecules as it fell. And it had 82 support columns holding it up. So free fall means really that some other force was required to remove those columns, because if it had crushed its way down, it would have had to slow down. All of the potential energy in that building was used to make it go faster. There was nothing left over to crush anything. And this is totally inconsistent with how fire behaves against steel. We have a lot of experience with fire on steel. Fire has never before caused a steel column to instantaneously go from 100% support to zero support. Only controlled demolition has ever done this before. Now, what does the government say about this? Well, their explanation is based on a computer model, but they keep the model secret so nobody can even see it. They say that releasing it would jeopardize public safety. What they have released, though, are animations that they say are produced by their model. But the animations look nothing like the actual video. So right there, we know that the model's not valid. The animations don't even show free fall. They show bending and twisting. These are things that take energy. And then recently, structural drawings have been released that prove the government's model is wrong. They have left out critical structural features that would have prevented the collapse from occurring in the first place. So the building could not have fallen the way that they said it did. So the bottom line is, we need a new investigation. We need it to be done by somebody outside of the government. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Remember, we're asking you all to stick to 3 minutes. This is just in, so that everybody can get their calls in. I really welcome the comments. I'm not going to make any response to any of these suggestions or logical arguments or illogical arguments or scientific or ascientific responses. So you get your word here. Who's next? Boris, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rather than talk about exactly how those buildings came down, I'm actually going to address your approach to this whole issue. And I'm going to ask a simple question. If I had come to you 5 years ago and suggested that every aspect of your electronic communication was being monitored and being stored and being spied upon, I'm going to, with great certainty, say that you would have called me a conspiracy nut. So in that regard, I would suggest that you be not quite so smug when you condemn people who question the government story about what happened on 9/11. And as far as your Occam's razor assertion, I would ask you to examine that very carefully, because that simple, that cop to simple explanations for everything, even something as complex as 9/11, can be a way of simply avoiding something that's troubling, and also a way that exhibits a lazy approach to investigative, you know, research. And so the Occam's razor thing, I think, is overused and quite often a misrepresentation of anything that exhibits legitimate discussion of complex issues. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. All right. Remember, 3 minutes each. We're taking all the calls we get. We're stacking them up in the order they come in. And I am not making comments or responses to any of the comments made by you. So it's your time. Who's next? James, it's you. Hi, you're on.
I just wanted to point out that on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld came out with, on a press conference saying that $2 trillion was missing from the Treasury, and then after September 11th, that was never heard about again. Just a little circumstantial evidence.
Of what?
That there was, that basically the attack on the World Trade Towers was the world's largest heist by the banksters.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you. All right, who's next? Ray, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. I want to ask you a question or two.
Well, remember, I'm trying to avoid commenting.
I know, you don't need to comment. All I want to know is, have you read some books? Like, have you read anything? Have you read The War on Truth by Nafees Ahmed?
Well, I'm not responding, so...
Have you read that?
I'm not... Go ahead, man.
All right. And if have you read anything by David Ray Griffin, debunking 9/11 Commission report omissions and distortions? Have you read those books? And have you read anything by, if you're not making any comment, see, that way we don't know what your wonderful sources are or anything, and I think it's despicable the way this is being carried out. So see you later.
Thank you very much for the call. Who's next? Bob, you're on the air.
Have you read that?
Bob?
Have you read anything by David Ray?
We got a repeat of the previous caller. What's going on? Bob? Juan, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay, I second the Occam's razor comment. I want to just say there was an outfit called Project for the New American Century that had a white paper online that I saw online that has been taken down. That said, the United States needed a Pearl Harbor-like event to do things in Iraq and the Middle East that these people wanted to do. Lo and behold, we get a Pearl Harbor-like event. As far as buildings falling straight down, you stated as fact that they do. Okay, that's fine. I've never seen that happen anywhere other than a controlled demolition. So since you stated as fact, please tell us where we can go and see a video or read about any large building that has fallen straight down on itself because of a fire. I think this was a first, the World Trade Center. That's all I got.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, remember, we're taking 3-minute calls. I am not commenting on the calls. And I welcome your comments. So we're taking them in the order they stack up. Whoever's next is next. Who is it? Jack?
Yeah, that's right. And
go ahead.
Yeah, that's a beautifully passive-aggressive approach. Let's see. As far as the buildings go, I've got some excerpts from the firefighters. That you can find these online. These were released to the New York Times in 2002. And I'm just going to read a couple of them here. Ladder 15 Irons, just got a report from the director of Morgan Stanley. This is 9:25 a.m. 78 seems to have taken the brunt of this stuff. There's a lot of bodies. They say the stairway is clear all the way up, though. Okay. Next one. I'm not reading them all, just some excerpts here. 9:52 a.m. This is Battalion 7 Chief. Battalion 7, Ladder 15. We've just got two isolated pockets of fire. We should be able to knock it down with two lines. Radio that. 75th floor, numerous 1045, code 1s. You'd have to look that up. What do we got next? 9:57 a.m., Battalion 7 Operations Tower 1. Battalion 7 Operations Tower 1 to Battalion 9. Need you on floor above 79. We have access stairs going up to 79, okay. They had this fire under control. So there was no logical reason for that building to have fallen down. Now, I know you wanted to stay with buildings only and science and buildings falling down. I would recommend that people read Webster Griffin Tarpley's 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, where he goes into in-depth discussion about the coup d'etat and the shadow operative network that was responsible for this. Bush and Cheney were not in the loop. Bush was, in fact, targeted, and I would recommend people look into the Angel is Next phone call that came in to Air Force One as it was lifting off from Sarasota. He was threatened, and it was a coup d'etat. That's all I've got.
Great. Thank you very much. Remember, we're going to do three-minute comments. I'm not responding. If we have time at the end, if we run out of callers, I'll make some comments of my own. But otherwise, I'm going to stay out of this conversation. I want to give everybody an opportunity. So 3 minutes each. Who's next? Spaceman.
Oh. Well, hello, Joe.
Hi.
Oh, it seems I got an echo here on my phone, so that's kind of disappointing.
Sorry.
I'll try to deliver my comments as best as possible. Joe, let me
just say I hear you really clearly. Go ahead.
Great. Joe, I'm really surprised that you take this sort of a naive opinion about these really important events that happened to our country. I really respect the viewpoints that you offer for us here on KBOO, but if you just look at the evidence, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Everybody's talking about the Building 7. That's obviously the biggest red herring in the whole situation. The free fall collapse there. I don't know, I heard about some gold that was missing there from the bottom of the basement. But you know, you want to talk about Occam's razor, just look at the way everything has turned out in the wake of all of it. And Joe, it's just everything you talk about, the police state that's coming around us. How can you not see that this was an orchestrated event? It just doesn't make sense. But if you look at the scientific situation, the thermite dust that was found in the city in certain spots proves that it was explosives that brought those buildings down. And if you look at Bush's behavior, you know, the man that was on vacation all the time, wasn't he on vacation all the time? He just happened to be reading some school children on his most important day. Tell me that wasn't a setup. That's just, hello, it's obvious. And you look at the early detonations in the towers as they actually collapsed. You can see the flash of the explosions that just pulverized the support columns. I think that if people watch the conspiracy videos out there, it's the evidence becomes obvious, and people should really, there should be a new investigation opened. If the president opposed having any investigation in the first place, and then when they finally put him on the stand, they said, well, we got to be there in private with Dick Cheney together. So you look at the evidence, you know, if you're not an idiot, then you can put the pieces together. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, KBOO, for making us have a voice to be heard.
Okay. Remember, we're going to have everyone stick to 3 minutes so we can get as many people in as possible. I'm not commenting on the comments. I want to give everybody an opportunity. So, who's next? David, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe. You made a couple of comments in your intro. One thing you said was that the buildings were poorly constructed. I think you're talking about the Twin Towers there. Well, actually, the government investigations found that not to be the case. They said they are actually very well constructed, and they had a lot of reserve redundancy, and then they blamed, of course, the collapse on the fires plus the supposedly the insulation coming off of the beams. And the second thing was about the insulation itself. There is no evidence that the insulation was removed the way NIST said it was removed and the way you said it was removed. All NIST has done is have a very simple test where they blasted some insulation with a 12-gauge shotgun, and that caused insulation to be removed from some cars they were testing. But that's not a representative experiment of aircraft hitting the Twin Towers. And furthermore, they had a fire in one of those cases where the velocity was only 100 feet per second, and that didn't remove the insulation. And it turns out from this mile, the airplane was moving the pulse moving only 50 feet per second, less than half of that, when it reached the south part of the North Tower, which is where this said the initial collapse started. So the fires there could not have heated the metal sufficiently using this own data. And secondly, about Occam's razor, if you look at the videos, and this claims that the buildings crushed their way down the Twin Towers, but there's no evidence of that in the videos. All you see are the towers blowing themselves up, and most of the mass ends up outside of the footprint of the building. There's less mass to begin with to crush the building down than you had, you know, at the very beginning of the collapse. So Occam's razor said those buildings look like they were demolished. And so if you want to say that you were brought down because of fire and aircraft impacts, the burden is on you, really. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Who do we got next? Joe, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hey, you really need to go look at the National Fire Protection Association's video. I know this because I watched the video probably about a year before 9/11 occurred, as part of my recurring firefighter training. And there was a high-rise fire of a building of a similar size in Brazil and another one in Los Angeles. Both were in the late 80s. One was in 1986, one was in 1988. The news chopper footage, the video footage of the one in L.A., which was at the time the U.S., well, it was called the, it's now called Wells Fargo Building, but anyway, back then it was something different. This was about a 90-story structure. Two floors were fully involved for over 48 hours. The news footage from this news chopper was at about the 36-hour mark. Both floors had burnt just about everything out of there. It looked like a red-hot kiln. You know, they were back probably a half a mile with their telephoto lens. So the only thing you saw on the TV screen was both these floors, and they were red hot. These buildings burned for, like I said, 48 hours. One was 36 hours, one was 48 hours. Neither one of these faltered at all. When you look at the slow-mo video of Towers 1 and 2, you will see a 6,000-pound chunk of steel I-beam that got impaled into the Deutsche Welle building 300 to 400 feet across the street. All of the dust that settled in there had iron microspheres in it. You really need to go to Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Their website is AE911 Truth. Go look at the National Fire Protection Association. Also go look at, learn what you can, what the firefighters have to learn about high-rise firefighting. The thing that hit the Pentagon, I mean, if that was a 757 that hit that, you would see 120-foot wings on either side of that hole, because they're not going to penetrate 18 inches of 6,000 PSI concrete. I know a lot about concrete because I spent, before I got my job as a paid professional firefighter, for 30 years. I worked in heavy construction. I even drove a concrete truck for a while, so I know a lot about the different mixes of concrete. I'm sure that stuff in the Pentagon, it's a federal job. It's got to be at least a 5,000, if not a 6,000-pound mix. It's got tons of rebar, reinforcing steel in it. So that had to have been a missile that hit that. The wings would have sheared off just like a little kid's, like a paper plane or like a little balsa wood plane when it hit that concrete. And you would have found two 9-foot diameter either GE or Pratt & Whitney engines laying on the outside of the Pentagon. This whole thing is a stinking hoax. I was working that day. I saw the New York City Fire Commissioner. What's all that squealing noise there?
I don't know.
Okay. anyway, I watched live on television as the New York City Fire Commissioner looked up at the, you know, he's in charge of even the chief of the department. He looked up at tower number 7 and he said, it looks like we're going to have to pull building number 7. By the way, if you ask Amy Goodman and a bunch of other news journalists why they announced the tower was coming down 23.
Okay, remember, we're getting keeping things to 3 minutes. I appreciate your comments. I want to stick to that rule so we can get as many people in as possible. Who's next? Hello? Jennifer, you're on the air. Jennifer? Sheila?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Hi, I'm not Jennifer, but that's okay. I could be Jennifer. I don't mind being Jennifer. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much time, and I kind of feel silly going after that, the guy with all that scientific evidence. But I just wanted to say, first of all, thanks for the show, and I don't think that people should attack Joe, because that's not really the point of the show. It's like, oh, let's argue with Joe. No, the point is come on and state your opinion, and you know, which is great. And personally, I don't care about building number 7. Whenever I hear stuff about building number 7, I just turn off. As far as I'm concerned, that if there's anything going on, it was one man's insurance fraud, because I heard that he was going to pull the building down anyway, and then, you know, then the building had received damage. And, you know, basically, I don't care about building 7. You know, if one guy's insurance, who knows, who cares. And as far as the other stuff is concerned, this is my opinion. I'm hearing a lot of supposition, a lot of a non-scientific supposition. But anyway, here's my supposition. My opinion is that we were out double-agented. And I forgot the name of the guy that, because I haven't been paying that much attention to it, but the guy that we paid. I think basically we were out double-agented. We were paying someone to go to the flying school, and I think that people's allegiances shift all the time, and basically that's what happened. But in a way, it almost doesn't matter, because what really matters here is the result. And the result was, when it happened, I knew there was going to be a bloodbath. I didn't know who we were going to go after. But I think what we really need is to channel all this energy into a really big anti-war effort, because not only, of course, is the war horrific, but it's trashing the environment. The military is the number one polluter on the globe. And so I think that's all I want to say. I just want to say, let's get an anti-war movement going. You know, yeah, this, you know, it's the whole thing stinks.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. As I said, we're going to try to keep to 3 minutes each caller so we can get as many callers in. This is 9/11. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Joe, and I want to hear from you. Who's next? Chi Chong?
Yes, hello. I'm Chi Chong. Good morning.
Good morning.
On the date of 2001, September 11th, not only the two buildings went down, but also the Pentagon was hit.
Yes.
I thought at that very day, it was funny. If I were to, if the people were to give greatest harm to the United States, I would not have targeted those buildings. Instead, I would have gone to the power plants, nuclear plants.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. All right. Now, 3 minutes each. We're getting a lot of excellent callers, a lot of interesting information. I really appreciate it. This is KBOO. I am Joe, and I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Who's next? Tyler, you're next.
Hi. I'm just amazed by how much interest there is in this topic and how many callers there are. I had to call quite a while before I actually was entered into the queue.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It's great. It shows you that there's just a lot of interest in this topic. And I think really what we need is a citizen-led investigation of this issue instead of a CIA-led investigation. And I think there are a lot of unanswered questions that need to be answered. And such a investigation would allow a thorough investigation and allow a lot of those questions to be answered. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the call. Again, we're talking about 9/11. This is KVOO. I'm Joe. I want to hear from you. You got 3 minutes each. Who's next? Tyler. Hello, Tyler. Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Joe. You made a comment about the thermite not being something about it not being able to produce the molten metal that we saw on 9/11. Another thing that really bothers a lot of people is the fact that all the molten metal that was found on 9/11 was not properly investigated by the government investigations. They don't even mention the molten metal. And they never even tested the dust for explosives or incendiaries, even after scientists reported incendiaries in the dust. So that's really inexcusable for a federal investigation. Some of the examples of the molten metal include the metal dripping off the South Tower before it came down. The color of the metal is indicative of molten iron. It's not molten aluminum, as they say. Typical of the government response is that it might be molten aluminum. We think it is, and it could have been yellow because things were mixed in with it. And they don't do any experiments to verify that. When people do experiments, they disprove it because the organic materials don't mix in with the aluminum. They just burn off the top, and it looks nothing like what we saw on 9/11. We have also the evidence of the iron-rich microspheres, which were produced by very high temperatures. Hotter than can be produced by office fires, even with jet fuel. We have the under off-street debris piles. We have enormous heat. We have people reporting molten metal being dug up. It was like lava down there, they were saying. And NASA thermal images confirm this. And to say that thermite couldn't do this is needs to be explained, I think, on a future show by you. Thermite is capable of doing this especially well because it doesn't even need to have any oxygen, doesn't need air. It can burn underground and even underwater. And those are the conditions we had on 9/11 and for the months afterwards. And finally, there was a piece of metal that was, you know, investigated by the FEMA investigation before the NIST investigation, again, was completely ignored by NIST, and it showed very clear signs of very high temperatures, much hotter than could be produced by the fires on 9/11. So anyway, thank you again, Joe.
Thanks a lot. All right, we're continuing with our three-minute calls. We're talking about 9/11, and I am not commenting on the callers. Many of you are making, by the way, excellent points. I want to hear from more of you. Who's next? Paula, you're on the air.
Coconut.
Hello? Paula, you're on the air.
Thank you again. All right.
I think we'll go to the next caller. Who's next?
Hello?
Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Yes.
You're on the air, man.
Well, thank you very much. The question that I have is if I stipulate that you're correct about the buildings falling down the way we were told on the television, why was it that Osama bin Laden attacked us? That's the question that I never hear addressed is what was it? What freedom was it that upset him so much that he felt that we had to be attacked? Was this all about the First Amendment or the Second? What was the driver behind the attack? That's all I wanted to ask.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Who do we got next? Oh, hi, Paula, you're back.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to say I had a personal experience. I was flying from Hawaii to California, and I all of a sudden got taken out of line. I had all of this stuff too. Anyway, it never happened to me before. I never saw anybody that it ever happened to. And they kind of put a red tag on me and took me to a room and went through all my luggage. And then I asked them, you know, what's going on? Why have you done this? And it was right after the plane exploded over Florida. So that was a long time ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows, and they said, well, you could you're a single woman flying on a one-way ticket that you made, you know, pretty suddenly, and those are all red flags. You know, you could be some guy sent you, you know, with explosives to blow up the plane or something, all because I was flying on a one-way ticket, and the ticket was just made like a couple of days before. So I just wondered if they had that look, that scope on things then, why weren't they, here's these, you know, Arab guys flying on one-way tickets. You know, why weren't they checked? Why weren't things in order for them when the threat was even more at the door? And I also wonder if that's the reason, like, people got such big settlements, because there was such a negligence on the part of the government and the airlines, and just, you know, not, it was like they had their blinders on, and I don't know if it was deliberate.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate the call. All right, what we're doing is we're taking three-minute calls from people. We're talking about the events of 9/11, specifically the collapse of the Twin Towers and Building 7. There are other issues involved, and I would like to hear from you on any of this. Who do we have next? Jan, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. I'm finding this very interesting, and I just wanted to bring up one comment. I guess I'm a suspicious person as I'm getting older against our government, because it's a proven fact that when the Cuban crisis was going on, that there was a U.S. naval ship that was ready to be sacrificed and bombed so that we could go to war with Cuba. Kennedy was willing to kill. There were 2,000 and some men on that ship. He was willing to kill them to provoke and to create the war with Cuba, and that's all documented. So sometimes I just wonder if this was more government-inspired than we realize. That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much. Remember, we're looking for three-minute or less calls from all of you out there. I'm not making comments on any of your comments. Let's go to the next caller. Who do we got? Ralph, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Joe, for doing this. I've got so many things. I'll just start rattling them off, and feel free to push the kill button.
Okay, go for it.
Another site I've mentioned before, Veterans Today, they've done a series of articles on people in intelligence communities, both from Russia and from Los Alamos. Those people have been starting to release information about how the towers came down, and the one point that I disagree with the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, that they're on this nanothermite thing, and there's really no place that manufactures nanothermite. So that's a byproduct of how they really came down. Is they came down with mini nukes, and there's a lot of evidence that's there. The molten steel that was burning for months at the site, the way a lot of the metal curled, the way the buildings essentially were pulverized into dust. So I would encourage people to go over to Veterans Today and look at the articles they have over there. It's fairly extensive. And micro-nukes have been used in various situations, including what's going on in Syria, by the way. The Bali bombing, I don't know if you remember that. That got Australia to toe the line. That was a mini nuke. The Pentagon, obviously no plane there, some sort of missile. The Pentagon is the most secure building in the U.S. There'd be cameras all over, and there were cameras all over, and yet we've never seen any footage of anything. And you would think for the propaganda point, you would be show that if a plane actually went in. Now, there was a plane that did fly over, which some people saw, but it did not fly into the building.
Okay. We run out of time for you, but I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller. Celeste, you're on the air.
either. The one thing that I think is not being addressed is the bottom line, which is it's changed the course of our culture, our country, and the world. It's basically taken away our freedoms and has given the government carte blanche permission to say, well, we need this. We need to take away all of our freedoms for your security and your safety. And it's heartbreaking. The lines, the way that we're searched, the way that I when I fly, I see disabled people taken out of line and they're frisked and searched. It's horrible, and it has jettisoned our country into third world conditions. It's absolutely horrible, and that's all I have to say on the matter. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you. If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. I'm Joe. We're talking about 9/11, and I'm welcoming up to three-minute calls from any of you with fact or opinion about what happened to the Twin Towers and other related events. Oh, last call. Vernon, you're the man.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on 9/11. I know what didn't happen. The official story is so full of holes that it's just not credible. But I was working for Boeing. I was the 767 manufacturing training advisor when 9/11 happened. And I know that there was no Boeing investigation. That's extremely unusual. When a Boeing aircraft goes down, Boeing is called in to investigate what happened. Four Boeing aircraft supposedly went down, and Boeing wasn't called in. Why not? All of those were very mysterious and had unusual aspects for airplane crashes. Hey, airplanes don't cause buildings to fall down. Never has happened before. They don't completely burn up in a trench in the ground with no parts remaining. They don't go into a building without the shear bolts on the engines giving way and leaving the engines laying outside. There's just a whole lot of holes in the stories. The one that I love best is Muhammad Atta's passport. They want us to believe that the entire plane and all of the passengers were vaporized, the building was turned into a pile of rubble, and the next day, on top of that, they found unscathed Muhammad Atta's passport. Well, that proves that he did it, doesn't it?
Thank you very much for the call, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think we are pretty much out of time, or do we have more? No. I'm going to do just a quick summary. I find many of your comments interesting, many items worthy of further investigation. I do not argue that we have all the answers to what happened on 9/11. I do believe that four planes were scheduled to be destroying centers of the United States. I do believe two of those planes struck the Twin Towers because the towers were seen as the centers of American capitalism. I do believe a plane struck the Pentagon. I do believe that a plane was crashed to the ground by the passengers on it when they realized what their fate was going to be. I always want to ask this one question, particularly about the Pentagon. Where's the passengers? Where's the crew? They disappeared. That's a very interesting question. I again refer to the notion that the best explanation for any event is the most simple explanation. I do appreciate the many, many, many questions that remain unanswered around this event. And I might add, I appreciate your calls. It's been very useful. I'm going to pass on this for the rest of the season because there's so many other things, so many things that I think are so much more at this time in history, so much more important. Not that 9/11 or what happened isn't important, but we need to focus right now. First of all, today, the election, you haven't voted, should vote. Second of all, we need to understand that this country is moving very quickly into a kind of right-wing fascism that is unprecedented in history. It's up to us, all of us, to engage in this struggle. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very much for your time. And thanks for the calls. They were all very interesting. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA. We'll be right back.
into KBOO on Tuesday, November 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. for election night coverage. Lisa Loving, Delphine Crescenzo, and Don Merrill will host 3 hours of talk about the elections from the KBOO perspective and include special guests, KBOO reporters in the field, and members of Oregon community media phoning in from all over the state. We'll talk candidates, measures, winners-losers, voter disenfranchisement, and more. Again, that's Tuesday, November 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Do you worry that corporate power is totally out of control? Tune into the KBOO Evening News every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. beginning August 5th to hear the new weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. I'll be sharing stories about communities that are rising up against corporate control and passing laws that exercise their right to govern themselves. That's every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News beginning August 5th. Don't miss it.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on alternative radio, intellectual, author, and professor Noam Chomsky speaks on ISIS, the Kurds, and Turkey. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we'll hear Flashpoints, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today, Harvey Wasserman talks about Jim Crow's return to our voting system, and we'll get an update on the missing students in Mexico. At 11, it's Stage and Studio with host D-May Roberts. Today's guest is Arthur Dong, a Peabody-winning filmmaker and author of the new book, Forbidden City, USA, Chinese American Nightclubs from 1936 to 1970. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan explores a contemporary bestiary, a group show of works by Northwest artists who incorporate animal imagery in their artwork, showing at the Halle Ford Museum of Art. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support for community radio. If you missed our recent membership drive, you can still become a member by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now here's alternative.